Hey, good afternoon, everyone. It is the month of September. We took the whole summer off, and we're back at the mic. There's a lot that we could talk about today, but I would like to talk about what I see as an incredible, let's see, how would we describe it? Talking out of both sides of your mouth. All right, what am I talking about? The current administration is mandating vaccines for everybody, yet I thought it was my body. The entire mandate behind the abortion, you know, pro-choice mantra is what?
My body, my choice.
Yeah, my body. And it's just amazing to me that no one's even talking about it, that I've been able to find how they're talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Red, white, and truth is.
What'd you say?
Red, white, and truth. It's an Instagram podcast.
Okay.
Guy, and he brought it up. He made mention that at the time of Biden's meeting with the CEOs yesterday, Vice President Kamala Harris was in California for a Women's Day thing, some women's convention event, where she was promoting My Body, My Choice, an anti-abortion, anti-Texas
right
stump pulpit, bully pulpit type of event, and
the president was meeting
with
CEOs
to get them convinced to back him with the Department of Labor mandate. And Red, White, and Truth had a whole session on it this morning.
Okay, I'm not familiar with Red, White, and Truth. Where are they at? Are these Christian, political?
Oh, it's just political.
Just political.
Just political.
Okay.
If you have sensitive ears, you may want to use a filter.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But there doesn't seem to be any anybody in the mainstream media that I've found that's bringing this to our attention that you know, you will take this vaccine, yet it's your body. And boy, the extremes are out there. I mean, we've got folks that believe the vaccine is the mark of the beast. And we've got everything in between. So, John, we've talked a little bit in the past about the Revolutionary War and was it right to, you know, ignore the king and overthrow the government? And, you know, we've had some conversations about that. Where do you stand, John, on the vaccine mandate? Surely you've given it some thought.
Yes.
The president.
I have personally decided that I got vaccinated. And to be honest, I'm not sure it was so much of a political ideal. It was my oldest son lost a very good friend maybe 3 weeks ago. Somebody who attended his church, somebody who was at the dedication of Caroline when they were, you know, first in down in. Down in South Carolina at, you know, where I can't think of the base right now. No, down in, they were actually in Augusta, where Jonah is stationed now. They were down there before. And so they worked and served in ministry. And so he just passed away of COVID. And so I got a very emotional text from Sean that said, look, regardless of whatever the things are, I want you and Mom to get vaccinated because I just don't want to do without you. And so I'd already been vaccinated like 2 days before that. But that was kind of, in a nutshell, my summation is like, you know what, I'm just going to do this because it may help keep me from dying.
Mm-hmm.
It may. Mm-hmm. It's just like wearing my seatbelt, you know, looking both ways before I step into traffic, things I do just to kind of make sure that I'm safe. Yvette and I were talking about, you know, motorcycles. You know, as a mom, of course, you know, the fact that some of my sons own motorcycles makes her very apprehensive. And we were just talking about motorcycles the other day, and we're like, you know, it'd be really fun in our old age to, you know, get a trike or something. And I just
personally,
well, she wanted the trike part, but, you know, but personally, I'm just at the level where I can't bring myself to do that because there's just less between the pavement and me. When you ride a motorcycle, I mean that's just the fact of the matter. And then you can talk about all the things, But the reality is, you know, when I'm in my truck, there's a lot more stuff in between me and the road, you know, if I was to hit somebody or something. And so it kind of falls in that category to me. And honestly, I hear both sides of it politically. I hear both sides of it, you know, from a spiritual aspect. And it's one of these topics that's kind of, you know, both sides make some good points. And I just not sure, but I personally got the vaccine and decided for that reason to do it. Along the lines of the thing you mentioned in correlation with this, same deal. I'm so glad that I did not have to live in 1776 or so, because I don't know where I would fall down on that. Because once again, I see and hear arguments for both. I understand the clear scriptural mandate that you're supposed to obey the government. But, you know, there's a lot of other things that make it not just so cut and dry. And that's the same deal with, you know, abortion. I mean, honestly, you know, one of the saddest statements I heard this past week, and I haven't listened to NPR in like 6 months.
Okay.
I've just been riding around my truck with anything off, and I've got a lot of things to think about anyway, so I just do that. But I just flipped it on there one time, and I remember why I turned it off. There was a guy on there who said one of the biggest dangerous travesties and that kind of language that exists now in the world is that in the state of Texas, a woman can't get an abortion. And when I heard the irony of that statement, and on top of that, they were also linking and discussing about face masks, and I would just want to scream into the radio, do you not hear the words that are coming out of your mouth?
Yeah.
You know? Because you just created a paradox in the last, like, 2 minutes of your discussion that is really hard to square.
And that's what I'm arguing is, do you hear the paradox that you're communicating?
They do. Arizona Central, MAGA hypocrisy on COVID-19 vaccine has no limits. And it's the my body, my choice for vaccine, but not my body, not my choice for abortion. So they're taking the opposite argument that's being talked about here. My body, my choice ? From Crisis Magazine. Which way is it? And this one's to the liberals. LA Times. My body, my choice. Why My Body, My Choice defines vaccine skepticism.
We won't have a hard time finding an article, evidently.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's plenty of choices.
Vogue magazine, My Body, My Choice, The Paradox of Republican Anti-Vaxxers. Same word you used, John. Mm-hmm. Texas abortion law, where are pro-life mask vaccines and helps for kids in the USA Today? So it is both sides. You're saying that you're pro-life and pro-choice and everything else, or you're pro-life, so you want to take away the choice of abortion, but you want to have the choice of vaccines and masks. And then the other direction is,
mm-hmm,
you want the choice of abortion, but you want to take away the choice on vaccines.
So where do you stand, John? Where do you stand on this issue? Because you kind of walked all the way around my question.
Yeah, I wanted to do a follow-on because I didn't ever get to that. First of all, if the government clearly says this is an order, a law, and it doesn't violate a scriptural principle, then I'm just going to follow the order and the law. So, like, for instance, if they say that I have to go, that I have to wear a mask in the Hobby Lobby.
Right.
Okay? I'm going to wear a mask in the Hobby Lobby. Just because I'm going to obey those that govern over me. Now, if they say, you know, you need to shut down your church service, then we've got a whole nother discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you must abort your baby, or if you have more than two, like places like China, then we're going to have an issue. So it's the whole law of God, law of man thing, whereas I am comfortable obeying the mask mandate if it's mandated. And personally, if it's not mandated, I do it wherever it's mandated by what authority is over me. So, like, if you told me tomorrow that we're going to wear masks on campus, I would do it. At my school, I'm told you wear masks on campus, so I do.
Right.
Now, do I wear masks everywhere else? Not necessarily. But, you know, I wear my mask more than my wife does because she just can't breathe very well with it. And so, like, I'll wear my mask from the car to the store because I just don't feel like doing another thing when I get to the store putting my mask on. She's like, why are you wearing a mask? And I'm like, well, because I just got in the car and I'm wearing it. Well, you don't have to. I know I don't have to, but, you know. So that's where I come down on it. Thankfully, in this state at least, we haven't really had to face something like John MacArthur or some of the churches in Canada have faced.
Right.
But definitely if that came to that, and it would be like the example of stop preaching the gospel. Sorry, can't do that.
Yeah. Jack, where do you come down on the government having the right to mandate a vaccine?
Okay, so I am, like Dan Crenshaw, the representative out of Houston, Republican. I think he makes the most sense politically in our nation right now of anyone. And I'm pro-vaccine, anti-mandate. I see nothing wrong with having the vaccine. I'm vaccinated. I was one of the first ones to get vaccinated in our organization. I made the decision very early on. I did it for my own personal choice of hoping to get out of a mask. That didn't work out too well. And I'm like John in regards to obey the law of the land. But I believe that, and I believe that those who have legitimate health issues and have the exceptions should be allowed to exercise those because it's within the law. But like John, if they begin to infringe on our ability to worship God, then we're going to have a civil disobedience.
Did you ever think that the vaccine could be the mark of the beast?
No. No. No, I never thought that. No, that's too much conspiracy theory for me.
And as far as, you know, whether it's effective or not effective, only time will tell. And as far as, you know, if you get this, you're going to have other health problems, I roll that into God's sovereignty, you know, that he'll take care of me, or his will be done in that matter. So that he's given me also the tension, the balance is wisdom. So, you know, it seems like this is a good health choice to make me healthier. We don't know how much more healthy and all of that, but I decided that it made sense to do it because I would be more healthy, you know, going forward, maybe being exposed. Part of it also is it worked better in my teaching scenario because it put other people at ease.
Yep.
And that's the other piece of this is that whole weaker brother, not even weaker brother because I can't argue totally 100% that because some of them are unbelievers, so they wouldn't be the idea of a weaker brother, but of preferring others above myself. And that is, you know, if me wearing a mask makes you more comfortable, I mean, we can have the discussion about whether that's legitimate or not, but at this moment, I'm just going to put it on because I can put it on, live with it, and I can help you and be, you know, kind of keep my testimony, especially with my parents. You know, some of my parents, even last year, really very concerned that I came and rubbed shoulders in this circle at church, you know, with no mask, and then came, talked to their children. So I was very, very careful to not get near their kid, you know, always wear my mask, you know, teach from way across the room, all these things that they say help. But there is a limit, which was, I'm not going to stop leading worship at Berean Baptist Church for you.
Yeah. And we, you know, being a leader of a school, I told you in yesterday, we as an organization are a conservative school. Not our clientele, necessarily. And we definitely have a clientele that is more in the Democrat side of thinking on the vaccine, the mask, at least. I don't think they're there as far as right to life kind of scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be conservative there, but in this area of vaccine, area of masking, they more are. We have a higher preference there. Then you have the medium group, and it splits about 50-50. We've lost some families when we went to mask. We lost families when we weren't in mask. I mean, it's just the nature of where we're at nowadays. But as a leader, I felt like I needed to do that. I have early stages of kidney failure with my left kidney. I have early stages of congestive heart failure. I have high blood pressure. working with doctors and taking care of all of that. For me, the vaccine made even more sense to avoid severe COVID reaction. And, you know, being in the hospital, missing being able to be at work, do the things that I need to do, or even dying. So
I think one thing that we need to keep doing, we need to keep, whenever we have these situations, politically and spiritually, from the pulpits, from the political desk in different places, and I'm really disappointed that we're not doing it as much in the political areas like Fox News and other stuff, and that is just continually pointing out the fallacies that the liberal mind, the way of thinking, just presents over and over and over. And one of those is we're going to appeal to morality that we don't even believe exists.
Right, right. It's the right thing to do.
Right. Care for, you know, hey, you Christians say, you know, love your neighbor. Why aren't you? Man, you don't even believe in an absolute truth. Well, don't come over in my space and appeal to morality. Mm-hmm. You have not a leg to stand on. You don't have a good logical argument. Your logic is flawed. And here's the reason why. Because they just want to decide, when it's their issue, who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah.
And what we say is, no, we let God decide that.
Yeah, so it's a morality of convenience.
Right. And it's the same way with the abortion issue,
mm-hmm.
You know, the whole my body my right and all of that. Look, let's just stop this. It's about the sex. It's about sexuality. They want to do
free
what they
sex
want,
with no
and they don't want to endure the God-given consequences, which is children. And, you know, we talked in parenting class last night. You know, most of us didn't. You don't go into marriage to raise a family and be a parent. That's not everybody's goal. Here's my goal. No, you see that hot girl over there, and you're like, I want to be with her. I want to get married to her. And then you think about the parenting and the things after you're pregnant.
Yeah, when the bump starts to show.
Right. You know, right. Now we better get serious about this thing. And think
right
about it.
Right.
And it's just, I just wish people in the public debate would really talk about the fundamental logic and what goes behind the thinking of the liberal agenda, because it is, they just think in such circles that they really, it's just flounders. And I think that most people kind of realize that, but for some reason we've let in America this liberal minority really control the whole national debate on many, many things.
What do you foresee happening with the mandate with the churches, Jack? You think that they'll have the authority to mandate it for?
Hey, so I don't know if you saw my email.
I did see it.
I kind of gave out a brief this morning. We're one of 21 states that are not governed by federal OSHA. We have our own state OSHA, so our state will have a choice to either adopt the federal mandate whenever it's written, or they will have to write one similar to it with that as a protective measure to it. It's a state of emergency type of law. It can only be in effect for 6 months. I learned that since sending the email.
Federal OSHA's law could only be,
it's only for 6 months, and that gives them enough time to write another one that can go through the review process. So they can do an immediate emergency stay kind of scenario. So, and they can mandate the 21 states that are not governed by them to adopt or write one themselves. So we will have one come down. So our organization, since we have a tax ID, will, depending on how they calculate employees, will hit the 100 plus, because the two ministries that employ, BBA being very large, BBC's true faculty being, or staff being smaller, combined under one tax ID umbrella, goes over 100, and we'll have to make that choice of...
Unless our full-time equivalencies don't work out, right?
Unless they give a full-time equivalency thing, and then we might make it under the 100.
Like 99 and a half.
Something, but yeah, it'd be nice, but I don't see them doing that. I think every part-timer is going to count as one. I just don't see Biden and those guys
right
going that route.
Do you see, because even just knowing the political climate we're in, I just see, especially for religious organizations, even ones that wouldn't necessarily be our stripe of Christianity, of the encroachment of that separation of church and state for you to come in.
No, we've seen too many of our own churches in this community capitulate very quickly. We see some of our larger churches of particular demographics working heavily with our Democratic local mayor and city council and being very vocal voices. They haven't even opened up for church services completely yet. And now one of those leaders who was very vocal in that has been named a multiple state bishop. We would have to rely on our own type of churches to hold against it. I know the health department is investigating a couple of Christian schools and looking at shutting them down to virtual until they come into compliance in the community. So I know that's coming down the pipeline. There's just a lot of turmoil. And one thing that we haven't talked about and we can't overlook is the victory in California. The recall was based upon strict COVID restrictions, the strictest in the nation. And they could not overturn the Democrat hold in California, and it's only going to embolden all the other Democrat-held states like ours. So I don't see a massive ability to push back on this. In far as, because what the you are being given your religious exemption, you just have to take the cotton swab up your nose every week.
Yeah, you. I mean,
that is the religious exemption.
Mm-hmm.
You get to test. So I know for us, it might look like something on Sunday afternoon. We're out there giving rapid tests to all of our employees so we can make a decision on Monday. Because what happens if you have 40% of your employees test positive and they're asymptomatic, but they do test positive, you don't want to do it at 7 a.m. Monday morning. You'd rather do it at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, so that you can get parents notification time that will be virtual. Trying to think ahead to when this day comes.
Man, it's chaos. Just chaos.
And what it's going to look like. And I foresee us having to pay them to come in and take tests on Sundays at an hourly rate. If we're going to have any lead time. Week to week. Because I know I have employees who are not going to take I have admin staff that are not going to take it, and I have teachers that are not going to take it.
So you have a feeling at this point it's not just going to roll on like it's been rolling on?
No, I think
can down the road.
I think unless a judge steps in some place like Florida with DeSantos, I think it was Nebraska's governor, the lady, or is North Dakota's governor that's talking about suing.
South Dakota's governor's lady. No, the male is Nebraska. Both are talking about suing.
And then there's Texas, of course.
Of course, Abbott is.
So if they make groundwork before the OSHA gets it out and before the 75-day grace period expires and we get a Supreme Court injunction, a federal court injunction to stay it, then we can kick the can down the road. But if that doesn't happen, you and I won't have our nose jammed, but somebody will here.
You know, I just feel like, Jack, to some degree, it is a giant scare idea. Like, what can we do to get 5 more million vaccinated?
Yeah.
Well, we'll communicate it as a giant mandate. There's a percentage of people that were already on the bubble, and they're like, okay, now that it's mandated at Coca-Cola, it's mandated at IBM, it's mandated, I'll go ahead and get it. And the numbers go up because it's all a matter of, one of my doctors told me we have to get to 95% for it to really have serious efficacy. I don't know if we can get to 95%. That is an incredible.
Do we have any idea how the polio vaccine got such success?
Yes, FDR. when you got a president sitting in a wheelchair from polio.
Yeah.
So it was just by the fact, the mere fact that most people believed in the cause. And
yeah.
No, I think it was the fact that who wants to be in a wheelchair?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right now, the problem with the whole thing is I get a really bad cold for 2 weeks.
Yeah, most people.
Most
do.
People.
Yeah.
Right. I know that. I know it's always the one that's dying.
Yeah.
But I go to Eastover, Eastover Trading Company. And the lead mechanic, who's done an amazing job for me, smokes. Every time I see him, he's got a cigarette in his mouth, right? I got a text message this morning. I know you'd want to know, Kevin died last night. Just not 3 days ago, he was on my mower fixing it. 3 days ago. He's dead today, okay? Not because of COVID, okay? Probably a heart attack, okay? Smokes like a chimney, looks like death warmed over. Great mechanic, but if you looked at him, it looks like a person who had a really hard life, right? And he's my age. He's my age.
Yeah.
My point to saying all that is people know that cigarettes kill and they keep smoking.
Yeah.
People know that overweight people die of diabetes and they keep eating. That's just the reality. But when you see polio equals I'm in a wheelchair,
yeah,
it's huge. I don't want to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it goes to, why do people get the flu vaccine? Because they don't feel like they feel like it could help. It might be beneficial, but it's, they perceive it as, okay, you give me a little bit of the flu to build up my immunity as opposed to, the COVID vaccines that actually have the, a lot of people think that it's actually changing their DNA or making something different within them, as opposed to, the other vaccines that are what have been termed by many true vaccines that are, giving me immunity towards those diseases or towards those
like the
viruses.
Idea of the smallpox. You put a tiny bit of smallpox inside you. Your body begins to fight that, which creates an immunity
right.
to the larger issue.
So you build your own antibodies to
right.
it.
But we know that's not the case with this because it's such an advanced thing, which is what's created all the conspiracies as to what's in this and all this.
Yeah, well, the Pfizer and the Moderna.
Right.
Because they're RNA-based.
Right.
Versus
Johnson & Johnson,
which
is
a...
It's
we
a
inject
true,
you, we
right.
inject you with
the... With COVID and let your body build the immunity. And then the argument against that one is, well, they use fetal tissue to develop it.
Yep.
There's fetal tissue in it, potentially.
Yep. Oh, believe me, I know. I had a church member catch me 3 days after she found out I was vaccinated and let me have it.
Yeah, well...
On how I contributed to the abortion crisis in America.
Right. But, any of those... the arguments against them are that, but with all the other vaccines, and there are some that are just totally anti-vaccine everything.
Sure.
And then
sure.
there's others that would be like, okay, if I really see the importance of the vaccine for my child or myself, and I realize... Okay,
look, if people were dying left and right, if every time you
right.
turn around we were doing a funeral...
Right, or
choir
I'm
members
going
were dropping out, I mean, just...
I'm going to South America and I don't want to get malaria.
Right,
so I'm going
right,
to get a
course.
Malaria vaccine because
right.
it'll build my immunity so I don't get it kind of thing. It's proven, it's people realize, if I get that, it's not going to change me. It's not doing anything within me other than building my immunity. So I don't get that. And I just think there's a lot of uncertainty about the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines and what it's actually
doing to your body.
Doing to you and...
Or what it's setting the stage for is
right.
one of the
yeah.
the things I've heard about.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is another one, right?
Right. Well, the concept, at least, so this was a video sent to me by a church member, and a couple doctors discussing it, that because it is manufactured RNA, it's the Moderna and the Pfizer have patented information inside of them that belong to those companies. That is then being injected into your body that then joins with your DNA. Therefore, their patented, owned information is inside of you, and that it's setting the stage for the mark of the beast. Was basically the gist of the video, which was, you know, way above my my level of scientific knowledge of how RNA works. I mean, I can tell you what it stands for, but that's about the end of it.
I guess what I would want to say to that person is the mark of the beast had to have meant something 2,000 years ago when John originally wrote it to the seven churches. And so, therefore, it could have nothing remotely to do with what we're presently dealing with. If not, he's talking to them about something that has absolutely no meaning to them whatsoever. And in their day and age, the beast would have been the Roman Empire.
Well, and also the contention that I'm like, okay, sure, I hear that opinion. But for me, it's everything we see of with the end times record is that the true church, the elect of God, are not deceived by it. Then if that's the case, then I know some really godly people that have thrown in the towel.
Well, John threw it in
exactly.
The towel. Right. You're, yep.
So that
it's
means
nice
that,
knowing
that
you, John.
Other podcast that, you know, we were sent a podcast that, and the man leading it said, if you get the vaccine, then it, you know, you've lost your salvation and you're damned to hell.
You terminate your salvation.
Yeah, you terminate your salvation by
right.
getting
the efficacy of Christ's redemption
has a limit. It limited atonement.
Let me go ask Luther if that's right.
It cannot atone for you if you've been vaccinated.
So, I mean, there's definitely two ditches.
The six souls.
I don't even know that's a ditch, Steve. I mean, I can't even call that a ditch. The absurdity of suggesting for even a moment that the procurement of a vaccine would interrupt God's eternal salvation. I would scream through the mic and shake you and say, what are you thinking? For example, if you want to have a conversation about Free Will Baptists who believe that the apostasy can result in the elimination so that you're no longer a believer. But to say that a believer who is a believer and takes a vaccine and remains a believer is actually now a false convert is it's inconceivable. You almost think that people are saying that kind of stuff just to garner likes or whatever method of social media. Jack, what do you think?
Man, I didn't want to go to hell, but I'm just...
At least you'll have one friend there.
We won't see each other. It's outer darkness. Maybe I'll recognize his wail or his gnashing of his teeth. But no, it's just... Oh my gosh, that's absurd. The idea of that's just absolutely crazy.
It's unbiblical. It's utterly unbiblical. I mean,
my argument to that would be, you know, when I walked into this room, it was the exact time that I was supposed to walk in this room because it was foreordained by God.
Right, right, right.
And I sent you a text reminder.
Right. Gee whiz.
I mean, that's almost an equally absurd comment on the other end of the spectrum, right? You know, the dust on the table has been ordained by God. The number of pieces of it. I mean, just... No, I think what happens is every believer, I think this is a Romans 14, and the church needs to treat it as a Romans 14.
I agree 100%.
This is, do I eat the meat or do I not eat the meat? Yep. Do I celebrate the holy day
or do I not
celebrate the holy day?
Right. Yeah.
And when I get down to verse 23, I've prayed, I feel confident that God is saying to me, this is not sin if you do it. So I do it.
Yeah, I would want to jump up and down and say what you're saying is correct. And what I would want to piggyback to that, Jack, is Baptists have always stood for the priesthood of the believers. Mm-hmm. From the very beginning. It's been one of the tenets of a Baptist is that we believe that each individual speaks for themselves to God, an individual, one mediator, with no in-between. And so why are we superimposing on somebody our own personal choice? If you've made a choice to not vaccinate, then leave it at that. And if another believer has made a choice that they're going to vaccinate, can you not leave it at that? Why is there's condemnation in both directions?
Because it's been politicized. And we, for some reason, I mean, obviously we don't see news sources from any other country. You know, sure, a couple Western nations. But we don't see what's going on in the news threads of those who are in India, or, you know, we even get some notifications from a missionary partner about what's going on in Brazil or what it's like for them. Like, I think because it's being politicized and we as Americans somehow think that Republican is a synonym for believer, that that's why we have to fight this fight, as opposed to how about we just all shut up about it, let each one be convinced in his own mind, and then whatever they can do in faith is the appropriate action.
And we've made it a red-blue issue.
Yes, but you know, even if you go back, I wouldn't know how long, but in medical fields, you know, a patient always has to give permission for a procedure, mm-hmm. or for any, you know,
yeah,
surgery, anything. I mean, no, but it's even the doctor's creed. They can't force it on you. You know, and that's, you know, some of the TV shows and, you know, the ER type shows, you know, it's where they're starting to bend that to where, you know, the patient's going, I don't want to be treated, let me die. And then as soon as they go unconscious, you know, the doctor's going, oh, well, you know, they're unconscious, they can't decide for themselves what they want, so I'm going to do this procedure to save their life. But the patient didn't want it, kind of thing. But, you know, that's, you know, anyway, you know, just in the medical profession in and of itself, they never force you, you know, if you have cancer, they don't, you know, they say, here's your options, here's what we recommend, here's what we think you should do. But it's ultimately the individual's decision to say yes or no, I don't want to do that.
Like my doctor, he told me, look, man, you need to lose some weight, and here's what I'm going to do. In a year, I'm going to congratulate you. Either I'm going to congratulate you because you lost weight and your heart's back in good shape and you've been exercising, or I'm going to come into the hospital room where you've had the heart attack and I'm going to congratulate you because you're going to get whichever one you want.
Right. But he can't,
I mean,
but you know, he's not forcing you
what he's basically saying is, you're going to have to make that choice,
right.
And I'm going to congratulate you on
right.
Where
which,
you,
you know, that's, I guess that's my only hiccup with, you know, these mandates is,
he's a tough guy.
You know, nothing else medically is mandated to mm-hmm. people,
yeah.
You know, to individuals. And
yeah, and even if we extend their argument, which is, okay, but you're a carrier. Okay, but you're a carrier.
Could be
a carrier. You know, asymptomatic.
Yeah, but at
carrier.
This point, everybody could be.
Right, exactly. Even if you extend that argument, my pushback from that would be, you are a carrier. And once again, I'm going to bring this back around to the spiritual nature that they don't recognize, and that is, you're a carrier of liberal thought, and you don't care to whom you push that out. In fact, you aggressively put it in the public schools, and you aggressively put it
yeah.
into the and, yeah. and the fact of the matter is, we live in a world that doesn't see the, you know, it says fear the one who can take the soul, not the one who can take the body, mm-hmm. and they got this flipped upside down. So it's no surprise when they make these kind of crazy statements, and they have this kind of crazy logic, because they don't even realize that there's a thing called eternity. They don't even realize that the more dangerous thing is your liberal thought, not whether someone gets COVID or not. The thing that will, you know, I got to be careful because my theology doesn't allow me to say the thing that will send you to hell, but, you know, the thing that will keep the truth from being presented is your liberal push in the public forum, like public schools and public discussions. And I think that's the more dangerous thing that we need to push back and say, no, you know what, you're more dangerous. You know, you want to talk about danger, this stuff you're saying right now, this, you know, Lord,
ideology you're talking
right,
about.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
is danger. And I think American churches have stopped saying that.
Yeah, the biggest irony I've seen in all of it, and I brought it up last year with my Bible class, and I brought it up again this year with them, predominantly the same group of students, is if those who don't believe in God, I find it absolutely hilarious that they're going against their belief system to argue for the sanctity of life with the vaccines
mm-hmm.
and the mandates of it. Not even talking about the choice of it, but the mandates of it. In the essence of, if you don't believe in God, then you probably believe in evolution. And it's a survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you trying to keep the weakest alive?
Exactly.
And that has always been the largest irony I have found in it. And then I found the Christians who are radical to the other end, who are always like, you know, they sound like the evolutionists, let the weakest die. And sometimes in their speech. And I find that one difficult to swallow too, because of our mandate to love one another, to care for, and unto the least of these. And I find that one hard, which is another reason why I had to personally make the decisions I made. But again, personal choice. It should never be mandated on somebody else.
And it's always so funny because this happens, you know, whomever is in power, they react, you know, this way or this way. When we come to prosecutions, people who are, you know, hauled before a prosecution, you know, for if it's, you know, if Bill Clinton or Trump, you know, it kind of falls along these fault lines always. But what's funny about the liberal thing is like the elite, like the really extreme elite that believe in like overpopulation of the world. And some people just got to die. They got to go. Or the wealth redistribution. It just has to happen. And now, and the funny thing is okay, well, why don't we start with you? Oh, no, that won't work. No, I'm not going to be the one to stop driving my, or flying my, or riding the, you know, it has to be you. It's always you.
Right.
So what this means is, you know, you're just like the Christians who are telling everybody how they should live. Right. You know, the thing you always level at us is you're judgy and you tell everybody how you're really just like us. You're just like us.
Right.
You know why? Because you're a human. And you're a fallen, sinful human, just like us.
Well, I am sure that this podcast will result in lots of people being irritated. That's for sure. You know?
Send your emails to Steve. Wilson.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even in there the whole time.
Brian.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening and have a great day.